Before today's program, I want to invite you to a deliverance conference that's going to be held right here in Charlotte, North Carolina on October 28th, 29th, and 30th. It's going to be at the Holiday Inn Express at 9420 East Independence Boulevard. That's in Matthews. And for more information, you can either go to our website, www.cecmessiah.org, look in the news and events section, or call Grace Como, 704-408-3963. We are expecting some great miracles. I'll be doing the Sunday morning service. We're going to be celebrating Eucharist and sharing communion, and we're going to watch God do some really great things. So come join us.
Debbie and I just got back from a mission trip to Scotland. It was a very busy mission trip, but it was a very successful mission trip. The Lord really did a lot of good things. And so we're going to tell you about the trip and what happened and tell you some ghost stories, Holy Ghost stories about what the Lord did. You know, in the past, when we've gone on mission trips, we're used to the idea that when we go, people are going to get saved. A lot of people are going to get saved and baptized in the Holy Spirit. There'll be a lot of people healed. And although we saw some of that this time it was really more about people growing, about equipping the saints there to be able to really operate in the miraculous in their own local communities. And while we were there, it was like watching flowers grow before your eyes. You could see the flower sprout up from the seed, and all of a sudden it starts blossoming and blooming. And I mean, it was just neat to watch as people started moving out in the gifts of the Holy Spirit and prophesying over folks and praying over people and watching God move through them. They could see God's moving through me, and it was just exciting. So it was really more of a trip about equipping the saints and helping people learn to operate in the gifts of the Holy Spirit and things like that. And the very first meeting we had was a little home prayer group, had about, I don't know, 8 or 10 people there. And we worshiped the Lord for a while. We're praying. And Debbie looked over to a lady sitting next to her and said, "Did you know that you're an intercessor?" And this lady said, "What's that?" She didn't even know. See? Mm-hmm. And so Debbie started describing. Well, an intercessor is a person that hears from God. The Lord will put somebody on your heart, and then you're supposed to pray for them. And all of a sudden, the other people in the room start going, yeah, that's her. That's her. She gets these visions, and the Lord gives her names. And she said, "Yeah, but it's scary, because the other day the Lord gave me a name, and then 2 weeks later this person died. And I didn't know what was going on." And these people will come to mind, and I'll see visions and pictures. And it's, I don't know if it's God or what. Now see, this lady's only been saved and baptized in the Holy Spirit for about 2 years, see. Mm-hmm. So anyway, as we describe this and describe, that's a gift, that's a spiritual gifting. That's the Holy Spirit coming on you because He wants you to pray for somebody. And He may even be telling you these things so you can share it with others so they can pray too in agreement. And she says, "Okay, that sounds good then. I'd like to do that." And so we prayed over her and anointed her to be able to pray for people and do intercessory prayer and things like that.
Because it was scary to her, mm-hmm, to see something in the future or something, you know, about someone, and then it happens, mm-hmm, or something. And that scared her.
Yeah.
But now that she knows what she's...
What she needed to do.
Yeah, she can do something about it.
Well, and so what was interesting was she showed up at probably 4 or 5 of the meetings we had after that, where we were praying for people and things like that. And the Lord started moving through her. We'd gather around somebody to pray for them.
I'd call her to pray.
And Debbie would call her over. "Okay, now you come pray with us. We're going to help teach you how to pray for people." And so we'd be praying. And then I'd ask, you know how I do sometimes, "Now, has anybody heard anything from the Lord or seen any visions about what we're praying about, or pictures?" And she would, yeah, I heard something, but I don't know if it's of the Lord. And she'd tell us what it was. And of course it was from the Lord. Everybody go, yeah. Matter of fact, one night I was teaching about spiritual gifts. And then we had a practice session afterwards. So I said, "Okay, I want to divide you up in groups of 3. And the rule is that you have to get with 2 other people that you don't know, because if you already know them, this isn't going to work well." And so you divide up into groups of 3, and then I want you to pick out one person, and the two of others pray for that one person. And the way you're praying is you're mostly just listening to hear what the Holy Spirit is saying. And then you're going to pray the way the Holy Spirit leads you. And then after you pray for that person, you pick another person out, and then the other two pray for that one. And you go around until all three have been prayed for. And so they got together and they did that. And afterwards, we came back together as a group, and I said, okay, now I want to hear some testimonies about what happened. And of course, the people were just, they were so excited because God was working through them. They were seeing visions. They were getting words from the Lord, prophecies, and it was right on. The other person was going, that's great. Or in some cases, that one person would get something and nobody knew what it meant, but then the other person would get something else, and then whoever they were praying for put the two together. And only by putting those two things together did they know what the Lord was saying to them. And so they were just so excited. And so I asked, okay, well, tell me some individual stories. Well, this lady, the intercessor that we prayed for, she said, well, you know, the only thing I got, and I don't understand it, and she pointed to a guy across the room that she didn't know, but was one of the three in her group she was praying with. You know, when I started praying for him, the Lord just told me that he needs to have his legs strengthened, and I don't know what that means. Well, what she didn't know is this guy has muscular dystrophy. It's not really showing. When she came in the room, this guy was sitting down.
So she didn't know.
She didn't have any idea that his legs just get incredibly tired any time he stands up and does anything.
See? He's in a lot of pain.
And he's in a lot of pain at times. Well, she didn't know that, but the Lord did. And so she was just, by the time we left, she was just walking on cloud nine. I mean, it was like she was floating along. She was just so excited about what happened. Well, we went the next day to the home of a lady. This is in the city of Lockerbie, you know, where the 747 crashed. The terrorists set the bomb off, and the 747 crashed there. And they had a lot of other things that happened. A school burned down with a bunch of children in it. They had a disease come through and wipe out their cattle. I mean, they've just had tragedy after tragedy in this place.
First.
But anyway, we went to visit a lady there. We had visited her last year. Now, last year, when we went to visit her, it took some convincing to just let us go visit her, because she wasn't sure she wanted Christians in her home, and she had been serving God, but she was so depressed, and she hadn't been going to church, and the Lord used to use her in prophecy, in poems, but she didn't want to do that anymore because she was just too depressed, and she didn't know if she wanted us to come over, you know, it was that kind of thing. Well, last year when we came into her home, we started praying over her, and the Lord started revealing things to her and encouraging her, real words from the Lord in her life that was really speaking to her. And it encouraged her to start gathering around with other Christians and praying with them in town, finding other Christians in town and things. Well, this year when we went back, it was like going into a different house. I mean, she was a different lady. She was so happy. She was so excited about what God was doing. And she's praying with two different ladies at two different days of the week. She's working at the local Salvation Army. I mean, she's doing all kinds of things now. And the Lord's starting to use her again in prophecy and poems and stuff. And so we were really able to see this time the fruit from the last time. And I suspect when we go back again next year, it's going to be the same thing. We're going to see a lot of fruit from that time.
We also went up on the hill last year. We went up on the hill there in the town and prayed
in Lockerbie
and prayed over the people and over that town, broke the curses and the principalities and powers that are over that town.
Yeah.
So I haven't heard of any other tragedies.
No, there have been no more tragedies, but there have been some. There have been some Christians moving into the area,
right.
Some people coming to the changes Lord in the area,
happening.
So there are changes happening.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Christians that will get together and go pray for a country or a town or, you know, that's powerful.
Yeah.
It does change things. I've seen it in neighborhoods where we know some people that live in a really poor neighborhood, that they had a lot of shootings and gangs and things like that. And so we started praying over that neighborhood. More Christians have moved in, and the thugs have been ousted out of the neighborhood.
Yeah, that's right.
And the houses are being rented now to other, you know, people that are not involved in gang-related things shooting and things like that. So the neighborhood is becoming a safe neighborhood for people to live in.
This was a trip for us, and I'll tell you just one little example. But for us, it was a trip of taxicab miracles. It was just one of those funny things. When you travel, you know, you watch God move. One day, we had a meeting in the afternoon, and we were kind of in a hurry to get ready for that, but we needed to eat lunch first. And where we were staying, it was a pretty good walk to town to get food, to get a restaurant. So I called a cab. And the cab company said, well, it's going to be 30 minutes before we can get a cab over there to you. And we said, well, we can't really wait that long. We're just going to go ahead and start walking. And we opened the door to this apartment we were staying in. We opened the door and walk out, and there's a cab right outside in the street. And the cab driver's got the door open, and he's just kind of sitting in the cab. And I go up to him and I say, are you looking for a fare? And he goes, yeah, sure. Where do you want to go? And we get in the cab. Come to find out, he lives there. And he had just come home for lunch. Wow. Right at that instant. Okay, so he takes us to town. He drops us off. We eat lunch. We go over to a store to pick up a gift for my son-in-law. And again, we need to get back to the apartment pretty quick, so we're going to have to get a cab. As we walk out of this store, which is in kind of off of a back street.
Cabs don't drive back there.
But we walk out of the store right into a cab. And the guy's just sitting there in his cab.
No,
a different guy. He's just sitting in his cab. We go, okay, well, you looking for a fare? Yeah, sure, get in.
The Lord is providing
for us.
He was providing for both of you, him and you.
Absolutely. That's exactly right. And there were several other little examples like that. One day in the rain, and then, you know, all of a sudden the right cab shows up. And it was just miraculous. Even on we're taking a train ride back to Glasgow. We left out of Glasgow. And so we're going to go there, spend the night at the airport hotel, and go back home. And on that train ride back to Glasgow from the Highlands, we met the lady that does the snack cart up and down the aisle of the train, got to talking to her, and she asked, I don't know why she asked, but she asked how we were going to get from the train station out to the airport. And so we told her about this kind of, well, we got to pick up another train, and then from there we got to take a bus, and oh, no, you don't want to do that. You really don't want to be in that part of town this late at night doing that. She says, here, call this number when you get in there, and they'll pick you up. It's a private cab company that'll pick you up. And sure enough, we call the guy. He picks us up right away. He takes us out there for less than it would have cost us to take public transportation. Mm-hmm. And he was a nice guy.
And
less than most cab companies. So, I mean, it was just God was even when we didn't know God needed to provide for us, God was providing for us. We did some spiritual warfare several times while we were there, but probably the most noticeable time, we had gone to a fish and chips takeout place. And for this little town we were in, it was a pretty famous place. And this is the place you're supposed to go. And so we go in there and we ask the lady behind the counter about a couple of questions about the menu. And she acted like she couldn't understand us. And sure enough, I mean, some of the Scottish folks have some pretty thick accents, and we had a hard time understanding some. But it was just strange that she couldn't seem to understand us.
Or wouldn't understand something. She'd talk to the other lady and ask her. If we asked a question about the menu, she'd turn like she's confused.
Yeah, she'd turn to the other lady behind
the other lady would sort of answer us with a scowl, but she answered.
Well, sort of. We never really got straight answers on some of these. So Debbie and I are kind of standing there at the counter talking about what to order. And so finally we decide, okay, we know what we're going to order.
And somebody else
comes up, and this another American lady comes up, and this lady behind the counter that couldn't understand us asks her, what do you want? She said, well, we're here first. What do you mean you're asking her what she wants?
We didn't say anything.
No, we didn't. But she said, what do you want? This lady told her. She understood her. And we thought, well, that's just weird. And then there's another couple comes in, and they take their order first. And so we're sitting there thinking, what is wrong? They don't want to wait on us?
We're just standing there?
Yeah. And so we realized, this is spiritual warfare. Mm-hmm. Their spirit and our spirit are not getting along with one another. They're fighting. And so I said, okay, Debbie, I know how to deal with this. And so Debbie's standing near me, and we're probably standing 10 or 15 feet away in a noisy restaurant from this lady behind the counter. And under my breath, real quietly, I say, Satan, in the name of Jesus, I take authority over you. It was quieter than that. As soon as I said the word Satan, that lady behind the counter, she'd been working on something, she looks up at me and looks me right in the eye. And then looks back down at what she was working on. Her spirit heard that prayer from across the room in a noise room.
And don't you know, changed.
I mean, just like that. The whole atmosphere changed. As soon as she finished with that lady, she looks up at us. Can I help you, please? And she was just as nice to us and able to understand us and able to wait on us. And they ordered our food and ate our food.
The power of the Holy Spirit.
Absolutely. And see, we were talking with some of the other Scottish saints there about that kind of spiritual warfare that sometimes it's not obvious.
We had told them about the restaurant experiences.
We had told them about a restaurant experience so that, you know, we wanted them to understand. Sometimes it's not obvious what's going on.
That means there's a spirit that makes them even struggle there.
That's right. That's exactly right. Mm-hmm. That lady is probably struggling with an evil spirit and doesn't even know it. See? And it was just like we told them the story about praying for Gloria. Of course, we've done this several times since then. But praying for Gloria, how Gloria would go to sit in her chair to study the Bible or to pray. And as soon as she sat down in her favorite chair, she'd just go right to sleep. She couldn't pray. She couldn't study, read the Bible, anything. And so we went over to her house and we cleansed that chair and her house and rebuked the enemy. And from that day since, immediately she was able to sit down and pray and read. And we said, you know, it's not like somebody has to be screaming bloody murder or uncontrollable for the devil to be influencing someone. And sometimes it seems fairly innocent. Well, after we told that story, then several of these folks started realizing, oh, I'm struggling with an evil spirit that's oppressing me or keeping me from doing some things too. And they would start praying over it. And we've started already getting emails back about people that are being set free, getting delivered, and praying for each other and getting delivered, even from some of those little kind of things.
One of the questions came up about, okay, can Christians and spirit-filled people have demonic activity? Can they have demons? My answer to that is yes. Because we're not immune to the power of Satan. We don't become possessed. I don't believe we can become possessed unless we really open ourselves up to something. Right. But we can be demonized.
Or oppressed by demons, yeah.
And I tell the story about how when we were first married and I could not do the dishes. I just wouldn't do the dishes. It was like 2 weeks, dishes are piling up in the kitchen. I mean, we have to wash something in order to use it, mm-hmm. you know. And so Dan was saying, you have to do the dishes. And I'm going, no. So he would go and he took a shower. I'd go in the other room and sit down. And then he'd say, come back. And he'd say, now, Debbie, you can't go to bed tonight until the dishes get done. This is going on too long. So he left the room again. I sat down. He comes back in. And finally, he gets me I'm in the kitchen, and there's a corner counter. I'm there. He's got his arms around me on the countertops, and I'm saying, you're just a bully. What do you think you're doing, you know? And the Lord was telling him to take authority over the rebellious spirit that was operating.
But, you know, that's a pretty dramatic thing to do with your wife, especially your new wife. And I was like, oh, man, God, are you sure?
Really?
That would be pretty silly of me to start doing that and then nothing happens.
So what was happening inside of me, I really didn't want to say the vehement things that I was saying to him about being a bully and how dare you and who do you think you are. What I was feeling inside was, I really want to do this. I want to, but I can't. I just, you know, I don't want to say these things to you, but I couldn't make my mouth say the right things. Well, when he took authority over that demon of rebellion,
and it was very simple.
Like butter.
It was very simple. I just said, now, you spirit of rebellion, in the name of Jesus Christ, I command you to leave my wife alone. And I mean, just like that. She just
melted on the floor. And I started crying, and I said, I'm so sorry, I'll do the dishes so we can go to bed. And he goes, it's too late now, let's go to bed. But anyway, I was able to do the dishes after that. But the whole point is that Christians can be demonized, and it really triggered in other people. That story
here in
triggered
Scotland, right.
A truth for them so that they could start being set free from their
Yeah, so that they
problems.
Could see that maybe some of the things that they were dealing with, they were actually being demon oppressed or
because they couldn't control the situation
right.
or whatever.
Right.
So yeah. We prayed for a couple of people to be delivered from smoking, and I believe they are. One of them hadn't smoked the next day, so that's good.
Yeah.
You didn't tell about my first encounter, though, on the airplane going over. That was really the first meeting.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's right. In a way, that was like a meeting.
Because when we got on the airplane here, I've got 7 hours to talk to somebody, I guess. I was going to sleep. But sitting next to me in the aisle was a Chinese man. He was studying in Dublin for his PhD. He asked me what we were going over to Scotland for, so I told him we were going for ministry, that Dan was going to be doing some seminars, and we loved going on these trips because we saw a lot of healings and different things, and he's going, I've never heard of things like that. So he started asking questions, and I was answering, and so he kept asking questions, and I'd answer his questions, and finally it came to a question that he had was, well, is everybody healed that you pray for? And I said, no. I said, now it may seem that God is arbitrary, but he's not arbitrary. There are a lot of factors involved. There could be faith involved, lack of faith, or, you know, different things can be involved, why people aren't healed. And we don't understand those things. And he said, so, I guess then you'd want to pray for everybody, because then some can get healed. Mm-hmm. He said, but if you didn't pray for people, then nobody would be healed.
Yeah, there'd be no hope, he said.
There'd be no hope. And I have yet to meet someone that makes those connections so quickly.
Yeah, you know, most Christians...
A lot of people don't make that connection.
Especially Christians that aren't involved in charismatic circles or Pentecostal circles. They're not used to hearing about miracles. We've heard, I don't know how many Christians tell us, oh no, we don't want you praying for us, or we don't want you praying for our child, because that'll just get their hopes up, and then what happens if they're not healed? You know, and like this guy said, well yeah, but what happens if they are?
Mm-hmm.
Man, we need to be praying for folks. Pray for everybody we can. Just like the lady that you prayed for, Grace, on the way home from Kenya, you know?
Mm-hmm. And do you know, she called me and the other day and she told me, Grace, I'm still healed.
Yeah, she's still healed, and praise
then,
God.
And she got a job.
Yeah?
Yay,
wow.
You
know,
she was fired because after missing the flight, she didn't make it to work on time.
Oh, you're kidding.
Yes, so when she got there, she was fired.
Wow.
She stayed like a week. And then after a week, she got a job. She's working 5 days, 12 hours.
Wow, man.
That's great.
And then she called me and she was telling me how she had a dream. And this dream, she was telling me that she was walking on somewhere there is some water, and that water is like clear. It's not, it was water with full of poop and all that stuff.
Yeah, dirty water. Dirty sewage water.
And, she wanted me to, you know, tell her the... And I was like... And I couldn't understand, and I told her, you keep on talking, keep on telling me.
Yeah.
I know the Holy Spirit of God, you help me. The moment she finished, I started telling her, it looked like you have been going through some defilement. You need to be very careful.
Yeah.
And she was like, oh my goodness. And I continued, and I continued, and I told her, and then she told me, that is so true.
Hmm.
Let me tell you what I'm going through.
Wow.
You know, some counterfeits of relationship.
Yeah.
So, I thank God that I was able to meet her. And God works in a mysterious way.
Yeah.
Who knows that for us to miss the flight, it's because
right.
God wanted to heal this
right.
person.
That's right. You
well, and for me to sit next to this young man from China.
Mm-hmm.
And he's going to go back to his country with all this in his head now that he's never heard before. Unfortunately, I'm not going to have the privilege of him calling me what is happening in his life. But I'm trusting God to take the message that he's heard and grow that seed in him.
Yeah, I mean, Debbie must have spent 4 or 5 hours all together talking with this guy. And she would say something, and then she'd be quiet, and then he'd ask a question. And then she'd answer the question, and then she'd be quiet, and then he'd ask another question. And, I mean, he just kept talking and kept asking, and he was hungry for those things.
Chinese people, they're not Christians.
No, that's right. He said, I've never heard anything like this before in my life.
Do you think people have to come at least to hear?
Yeah, sure.
Before the return of Jesus Christ.
Yes. Absolutely. Absolutely.
And what would happen if this young man, the Lord reveals himself to him, and he becomes a powerful evangelist, goes back to China,
right.
Who knows what's going to break loose. I'm excited.
Yeah, we need to pray for that boy.
Probably that is what is going to happen.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. I don't think it was a waste of time.
When we get a chance to sow seed like that, I believe God knows we're sowing that in fertile ground. So, well, let me tell one last little story. It's not necessarily a miracle story, but one of the good things about this trip was we got to meet with at least 3 pastors this time. Now, last time, we didn't get to meet with any of the pastors, see. This time, not only did we get to meet with 3 of the pastors, but one of the pastors opened up their church, and we did several seminars in his church, in his building. So we're going to have coffee with the pastors, is what I asked. I said, can we get together, you and your wife, and me and my wife, let's have coffee or tea or something, or lunch. And so we're having lunch with this pastor and his wife, and he says, well, before I called you to tell you that we were going to have tea with you, I listened to some of your sermons online, because I told him that you can, you know, if you want to find out who we are, go to our website and you can listen to the sermon. And he said, so I was listening to this sermon you were doing about healing, and you got to a place where you asked the question, and I don't remember exactly what the question was, but
the question was, is healing for today?
Yeah. So I asked the question, is healing for today? And he said, right then, I knew that the answer to that question was going to determine whether or not we had coffee together. And I guess I must have answered the question okay for him, because we had coffee.
Of course healing is for today.
We just had some great connections with the pastors, and I believe the Lord's really going to open some doors next year where we're going to be able to work with the churches and work with church groups and several churches together and have some meetings like that. I think we're going to be able to have a women's meeting, maybe a men's meeting. I think we're even going to have a youth meeting of some kind. You know, who knows what the Lord's going to do. So anyway, we're excited about going back next year.
Well,